Well, my title today is Before the Trumpet. I appreciate the special music. I appreciated the sermonette. Certainly a great day, the first day of Tishri. The alert, the trumpet, the alert. We have alerts, especially there in Moore, Oklahoma. We take the alert serious from experience. But even there, there's some maybe smaller cities that do the sirens if there's a fire, for the volunteer fire department to come forward. I remember when I was a boy, you'd see the guy, a siren, and go off, and hear the guys that come running out of the stores, taking off their coats, going to the fire station. You know, there's a signal, there's an alert. And there in Moore, we actually live in Norman, but it's so close. At 12 o'clock, the siren goes off. Lunchtime, still have the siren at lunchtime, you know, to alert us. Reach out, get something to eat, you know, do something. Of course, the tornado alert, we always take those quite seriously. We start going to the shelter. As a child in rural Oklahoma, we had the telephones that hung on the wall. You give the crank, you know. And if there was an emergency, you got on there and you just crank, and everybody picked up the phone. What's happening? Well, I think I must have been 3, maybe going on 4. I decided to just walk off. I went across the road, you know, it's rural areas. And so they did the ring and turned out to high school. Oh, I've been famous all my life. My aunt was one of the high school students, and of course they found, actually the mailman found me. I was out in the middle of dirt roads then. I was just out in the middle of the road sitting, throwing dirt. I'm sure I remember this. People say, oh, you don't remember that because you've just heard it. But I remember he drove a Jeep, World War II Jeep, and he just pulled up. And on the left side, I guess he threw the door open, and he looked down, and he said, get in. So, you know, the trumpet in Israel, you know, it communicated important events. And we live in a time when there's important events. Some of the signs of the end of the time, you think about it. Mass destruction of all flesh. How long has that been possible? My wife and I have talked about it. We were born in the, you know, early and mid-40s. When we were born, there was no way to mass kill every flesh on the earth. It wasn't available then. Wasn't too, you know, down the years, it became possible. Nuclear power, proliferation of weapons, which is really spreading now. Even more possibility for mass destruction. Another thing, Israel as a nation in Jerusalem. That didn't exist when I was born. There was no nation of Israel. No. And some of Bible prophecies, that need to have happened. That has happened. What about world communications? Well, you could have read about the two witnesses in the 1940s. How's all the world going to see those? How are they going to do? And the world rejoice and send gifts. It's possible now. Everybody's carrying a device, probably here now. If that was on the news, we could see it. And not just here. We've been overseas, different countries. Kids all over the world have cell phones, it seems. Parts I've been. Even in the Middle East. Europe, South America. You know. And also, what about the political scene? We're seeing the development of what seems to me actually the king of the south and the king of the north. So there's definite signs. There's definite signs that we're in a different age than there's ever been before. We're in a different time. Things are happening. As Mr. Capon brought out, God used that trumpet to herald his meeting with Israel. And there's going to be a trumpet again to herald a meeting. In Matthew chapter 24, I will turn there. I'll probably be going to Matthew 24 a few times. Matthew 24 and verse 30. Therefore the sign of the Son of Man will appear. Matthew 24 verse 30. In heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. Apparently they won't be that happy. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with great power. Verse 31, and he will send his angels with the great sound of the trumpet. As Mr. Caping brought out, that sound of that trumpet, I don't think there's any man blowing that trumpet. It's no trumpet that we've ever seen. It's a great trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. Well, I don't know how explaining this, I'm sure, is above my pay grade. But there is a marriage supper, right? And when saints are resurrected, when's the marriage supper? Well, we know during Pentecost, the two loaves, they were waved. Remember that the barley at Christ's resurrection, then the waved sheaf was waved. So if those loaves would represent the church, Old New Testament, maybe we would be taken before the Father. I don't know. It seems logical. So they would be gathered. They would be gathered and brought. So anyway, there it is. From the four winds, one end of heaven to the other. It's pretty obvious it wasn't a rapture. So the great sound of the trumpet. Brethren, let's look at the events leading up to the return of Christ. There's definitely events that are going to happen. I've heard ministers say, Jesus may come tonight. I don't see how that'd be possible. There's events that lead up to Jesus coming, you know. One of those things is that seems obvious to me, there will be a famine of hearing God's word. There's going to be a time. And notice it says hearing. Let's turn over to Amos chapter 8, if you would. Amos chapter 8. Joel and then Amos. Amos chapter 8, in verse 11. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. I believe there was a blog or something there in Beyond Today I read, that they were emphasizing the hearing. People may still have Bibles, but they won't be hearing There's going to come a time, he says, in hearing the word of God. A famine of hearing. To hear intelligently, to discern. If no one's able to discern, you know what the angel told, was it Philip? The eunuch was driving. He said, go. And he was reading the scriptures, but he said he didn't understand. Philip joined him, and he opened the scriptures. So that's the way God works many times. He goes through certain people, and they explain. So it seems that this is going to go away. And in some of the previous verses, even there, Amos 8 maybe explain why, but I'll turn back to Amos 6. Amos 6, and notice in verse 1, woe to you who are in ease in Zion and trust in Mount Samaria, notable persons in the chief nation. And in verse 3, woe to you who put far off the day of doom. Oh, it's always been the same. Nothing's happening. It's better reporting, whatever. Who cause the seat of violence to come near? Who lie on beds of ivory, stretch out on your couches, eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall? Who chant to the sound of string instruments and invent for yourselves musical instruments like David? Well, who chant to the sound of stringed instruments, invent yourself instrument. I know we took our grandson to an outing. He's 15. Oh, yeah, we're going to get to visit with a grandson. No, he's got the phone and the ear, and he's singing along to music for an hour. It's great for old people that are fuddy-duddies anyway. Hey, are you going to talk to us? Oh, yeah, for a second, you know. But we're so preoccupied, we have so much. We've got our beds, we've got our clothes, we have our food, we have everything. Who drink wine from bowls? Not a glass of wine, I mean, we can drink it from the bowl or from the bottle. Turn it up and drink it. I remember a welder I used to know. He'd tell about, you know, out on pipeline, first thing you get up in the morning. I've probably told this story 100 times, but it's always interesting to me. First thing you do is feet hanging off the bed, light a cigarette, grab the bottle and try to suck the bottom out of it. I mean, that's how he started his day. I mean, we have it available. We drink it from the bowls, you know, and drink wine like from a bowl. But are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. I mean, the affliction of Joseph, look at Joseph. Joseph is afflicted, really afflicted. But we have so many physical things that we can just hide behind all the wealth and the good things that God has lived. So living at ease. But you know, in about 720 B.C., you know what happened? The Assyrians carried those tribes away into captivity. Carried them away. And then what were they looking for? They were looking to hear the word of God because it wasn't there. Several years ago, I know when things, the truth was being lost, people were, they was running about. When we came into church, we could turn on the radio and hear the broadcast anytime. Many times we want to hear it. All at once it was gone. You know, it was gone. And once something's gone, then you miss it. You know. My wife decided to go on this diabetic diet. Of course, big man that I am, well, I'm going on it too. Bad decision. So, I mean, I didn't know how much I crave things. You know, yeah. I haven't had a cinnamon roll in 2 weeks. So I'm not responsible for anything I might do. You know, when you lose something, you really begin to miss it. You know, she's saying, well, go get you a cinnamon roll. I don't have to have one. Yeah, you could picture this. She's in her recliner. I'm pulling out a big cinnamon roll. She's staring at me. I try to look down, and the dog's looking at me, waiting for his bite. I mean, when you lose it, you know, people run to and fro. Where's it at? You know, we heard this. We thought about it. But I think that's going to happen. Another thing that's going to happen is Satan's wrath. Well, you say, well, Satan always has wrath. No, not the wrath that he's going to have. A great tribulation. Let's look again at Matthew 24. Matthew 24 again. In verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And he had previously went through a list of things, of wars, of famines, of pestilence. And then he says in verse 8, all these are just the beginning of sorrows. We've always had wars, pestilences, but they begin to accelerate. Verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Might be like the fifth seal there in Revelation. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Well, as a nation, it seems that we are hated by all nations now, already, in many ways. We still have allies, but it's going away. And we're going to be hated. You know, we could very well be hated for just preaching a sermon from the Bible, of mentioning the wrong thing, of bringing up something that's sin that's not acceptable now, and even be against the law. I do not know this for sure. Someone told me, I can't remember where, that in Canada now, you cannot preach against homosexuality. Has anybody heard that? I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Britain also. Probably Europe. It's not here, but see, those things are coming. When the word, people won't hear the word. They maybe could read about it, they're not hearing it. But Jesus said, that's the beginning, that you'll be hated of all nations. And then many will be offended. They will betray one another and will hate one another. And of course, going on, there'll be false prophets. They will afflict you. They'll kill you. And they will hate you. We would like to turn back, if you want to Revelation 12. Now, Satan's wrath is coming. And it's something that we can expect and recognize, we hope. Revelation 12:12. Excuse me. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, because Satan being cast down. I don't know if this is the second time, maybe made one last attempt somewhere here in the future to take over the throne of God. But it is a fact. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath. Apparently he's always had wrath. It says great wrath. I don't know how to gauge that, but I think the scriptures give us an idea. because he knows that he has but a short time. And verse 13, now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Of course, we're talking about the church. Previous prophecy talked about that. The dragon waited for the birth of Jesus Christ to devour him. And he tried. The temptations took him, you know, to a high mountain, told him to turn stones into bread. Jesus, of course, his response was, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." And of course, that's a command that's given to man. He was the Son of Man. He came as a man, so he didn't have special privileges to say, "Well, okay, I can, being I'm from glory and I'm the Creator, then I can kind of adjust my life or the life of my friends to take a break if we need to." No. Well, some 14 times in Matthew, I believe, he calls himself the Son of Man. No. No, he said, "Satan, woe to them on the earth." Where was I? In verse 13, 14. "But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness in her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half time from the presence of the serpent." Yes, from the presence of the serpent. "So the serpent spewed out water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood." Sometimes the Bible indicates a flood might be like an army, maybe sending out an army. So apparently he knows where the church is, and they can be swallowed up in a flood. "But the earth helped the woman when the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out." Well, Korah, in his rebellion, the earth opened up, swallowed him. Maybe that's what might happen. The earth helped the woman. And in verse 17, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman." He's enraged now with the woman. "And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring." Apparently the majority of the church is protected somewhere. But there's a remnant, for whatever reasons, not there. But they do keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Why they're not with the majority, I don't know. But for some reason, apparently there's a remnant that was left. There's a remnant out there. And the majority of church, in another place it says that God prepares a place and he nourishes the church. We might turn back to, I think it's Isaiah. I wrote down Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33 in verse 15, 17. It says, now here's the describing a person or a church. In verse 15, Isaiah 33, "He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppression." In other words, someone that doesn't enjoy getting rich by oppressing other people, maybe overworking other people, taking advantage of people because you're in a position of power. Maybe you're the boss or the owner, and you would just kind of hold back what surely in reality should be given to those doing more the labor for you. "Who gestures with his hands and who refuses bribes." refuses to take this special consideration by giving a special favor to someone? Who stops his ears from hearing bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil? I mean, my wife and I, we turn on TV, something comes on. Well, this looks like a good movie. And I mean, you get into it, and then, you know, it's bloodshed, it's sin, it's evil. And you're thinking, I don't know if this is what we need to be watching or not. But my wife insists on it, so we go ahead. No, she wouldn't do it. No way. But, you know, he shuts his eyes from seeing evil. He will dwell on high. Now this, it says this person, he will dwell on high. His places of defense will be the fortified rocks. Bread will be given him. His water will be sure. So wherever God's people are in this place, God says, I will feed you. He fed the Israelites out with manna. I don't remember, but they had food and water. So this church will be nourished. Let's turn back to Matthew 24, verse 15. And here we see more about Satan's wrath. Therefore, in Matthew 24, verse 15, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, you see it standing in the holy place. And it says, whoever reads, let him understand. So if we read this, God says, let us understand. You know. And I'll go ahead and read farther. Verse 16, let those who are in the Judea flee to the mountains. So when we see this happening, now there is a nation of Israel, Jerusalem. When we see these, and we know we've got the communications now, instant communications, we can see these things. He says, then let those who are in the Judea flee to the mountains. Verse 17, let him who is in the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. In other words, be ready when these things happen. We shouldn't be taken all by surprise. We turn on the news. Oh, no. I didn't see that coming. No, hopefully we see that coming. And let him in the field not go back to get his clothes. In other words, he's saying, be ready. Be watching what's going on. But woe to those who are pregnant in those, and to those with nursing babies in those days. It says, and pray, in verse 20, that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. He says, pray. I don't know, does that mean, well, let's just pray every day. Oh, please, let my flight not be in winter or on Sabbath. Yes, probably. But I think also it means be praying. Be praying, people. You know, so that you will know and you'll understand. Be praying. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath. The Sabbath's still going to be observed in this time of the Great Tribulation. So that'd be another tool that Satan could use to persecute people, because we keep the commandments of God. And the Sabbath day, if Satan gets his power in there, he can surely persecute. Probably several people in here have maybe even been fired from jobs because of the Sabbath. I've certainly been threatened and I've been fired. And some people have lost mates or children because the resentment toward the Sabbath. Or maybe we observed it incorrectly and offended people, but either way, there it is in the end time. In verse 21, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no nor ever shall be." And then in verse 22, we're talking earlier about one of the things that's happened is the capability of mass death, total death. Verse 22, "Unless those days shorten, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those will be shortened." God will intervene. Man will eventually use this power under the inspiration and guidance of Satan. Yes, it's coming there. And then, let's see, I wanted to read something else. What was it? Oh, well, we'd already read it about the abomination of desolation. Jesus said, "When you see that," as spoken by Daniel the prophet, continuing Satan's wrath. Let's look at Daniel 11. You're probably thinking, "Well, Gerald, you thought that other thing was above your pay grade. You're sure getting out of it now." I think that's what Mr. McNeely said. I heard a sermon or something he talking about, mentioned Daniel 11. He said, "That's out of my pay grade. I'm going to leave that for somebody else." Okay. But anyway, Daniel 11, verse 31. Here Jesus said, as the abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Verse 31. "And forces shall be mustered by him." And I mean, there this Daniel 11 covers a lot of territory. King of the south and north and the final battles that come out of that. "And forces shall be mustered by him. And they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. And they shall take away the daily sacrifice and place there the abomination of desolation." It did happen. You might say, "Well, yeah, that's ancient history." But just to quickly look at verse 35. "And some of those understanding shall fall to refine them, purge them, and make them white. Until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time." And also in verse 40, "At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him." So we're talking again, yeah, say it happened, Antiochus Epiphanes, ruler, he invaded Judah, right? He banned the sacrifices. He defiled the sanctuary along with other Jews that were cooperating. As it mentioned here, if you look through this, that there's those that go along with it. Even circumcision was banned. And I understand that it was serious enough women would be killed for their babies being circumcised. And their babies hung around their neck. And the women killed. Now, Jesus said it'd be a time like never before, and that was bad time. That was bad time there. And the abomination of desolation, an image was set up there in the temple. This wasn't Solomon's temple. You have to keep in mind that at the time Daniel was writing this, there was no temple. The Babylonians had destroyed it, but there was a 70-year period there, and the temple was rebuilt in Ezra and Nehemiah. So the image was set up, maybe the image of Zeus, Jupiter, Olympus was set up, and pigs were sacrificed. Jesus said, as the abomination, desolation spoken of was by Daniel the prophet. So these things, they're going to come in a great tribulation. Satan's wrath will come. And after he is put down. Let's look at Daniel 12 then in verse 11. Notice it says, and from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. 1,290 days from the time that sacrifice is taken away. So here's sacrifices going on, and then there's a time coming when they're taken away. And it says, from the time that they're taken away, what's going to happen after that 1,290 days? Well, I believe it'd be the return of Christ, wouldn't it? Some think that this is a time marker, that you could mark some time, you see those taken away. And it says, before the temple is cleansed. Let's look back at Daniel 8. You know, how the Bible's written is some of the first things to happen are written as that the last, and the last are written as the first. It says here a little, there a little. Matthew chapter 8. And the book of Revelation, you see that go back and forth. Think, oh, well, here's here. And then all at once we're at a different time. Different time. Daniel 8, verse 13. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to that certain one who was speaking. Well, some feel like that was like Christ and the Father discussing. How long will the vision be concerning the daily sacrifices and the transgression of desolation, the giving of both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot? And he said in verse 14, for 2,300 days, 2,300 days, from the time the sacrifice begins, it's asking how long before it's cleansed. So we have 2,300 days. And I wanted to see in verse 17, say, well, that's all maybe ancient history, but in verse 17 he says, so he came near where I stood, and when he came I was afraid and fell on my face. But he said to me, understand, son of man, that the vision refers to the time of the end. Prophecy is dual, sometimes even triple. But it says plainly, this is for the time of the end. What we're really talking about is the time of the end. It seems to me it's saying the sacrifices start, then 2,300 days until the temple is cleansed. Until the temple is cleansed. And back in, what was it, Daniel 12? It says, and from in verse 11, from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Then it says in verse 12, blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. Well, if you have 2,300 days, and then you have 1,300 and, I don't want to say this wrong, 335 days, what, that's like 965 days from the beginning of the 2,300. And then something's going to happen then. Something happens at 1,335 days before the cleansing of the temple. Could be some type of a blessing. People have speculated about it. Maybe the place of safety is announced. I don't know. But something's going to happen during that 2,300 days at 1,335. I think I wrote this out where I could see it. Yeah, you have 20. If you have 2,300 days, and then like 965 days later, you'd have 1,335 days. Something's going to happen, some type of a blessing, something. But at the end of that 2,300 days, it's going to be Christ's return, it seems to me. And then you have 1,290 days. The sacrifices are taken away. The abomination of desolation is set up. Maybe the armies surround Jerusalem. And also you have in verse 7 of Daniel 12. And there shall be a time, times, half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. So you have a 3.5 year period, which is 1,260 days. You know, so we have a lot of times here. The sacrifices are stopped. And this is all yet to come. Sacrifices are stopped. Something happens there, and then you have a 3.5 year great tribulation, right? Which would be 1,260 days is a great tribulation. During that time, those 1,260 days, you'd have tribulation, maybe the church in place of safety, the two witnesses will be carrying on. And these things under Satan's wrath have got to come to pass. You know, back to Matthew chapter 24 in verse 15. Therefore, when you see that abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. That's the time when big trouble erupts. Big trouble. Possibly the nation goes into captivity. Maybe a time, well, definitely for a time for people to flee. Let's look at Luke chapter 21. Verse 36. Watch, therefore, Luke 21, verse 36. It says, watch. It seems like that's like a military term, to watch, to stay alert. It's not a time to be sleeping on our comfortable couches and not paying attention and to our life spiritually and physically. And pray always. In other words, you need to be praying always so that you remain strong enough to come through. I mean, are you able to come through the persecution or what you might face? Even if you weren't in the great tribulation, just living your life here day to day, if you're not praying, life really can become crushing. I mean, some people just, they're caving in under the pressure and giving up. So it says, watch, pray always, that you are worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. We'd be praying. If we're praying, then we would be able to stand worthy to escape these things, but also even more so than be able to stand before the Son of Man. Before the Son of Man. So watch and pray always and be able to stand before the Son of Man. In other words, I think not just asking, oh Lord, let me be worthy, keep me from the great tribulation, give me safety. I think it's maybe more talking about that we're No, we pray. We continue to pray. If we have time to eat, we have time to pray, don't we? I think so. I mean, grab a cinnamon roll on the way or something, you know. If you can, you know, if you just don't have time. In other words, the whole thing is keep the priorities. Keep the priorities. The prayer. You know, keep not just begging God, oh God, please count me worthy, take me to the place of safety, or do this or that. No, be praying on a regular basis. Another point I wanted to bring out is the time of deliverance. Whereas we go through these signs of the times and the tribulations, whether we go through the great tribulation or not, life can be a tribulation. We all face tribulations every day of some type. Everyone does, whether they're in the church or not. But when God calls us, as one man told me one time, if you're called by God and you're committed to God, it's like you've got this big target on your back. And Satan is going to try to hit the bullseye, where average people out here maybe don't have the same target. You know, that's a matter of opinion, maybe. Let's look at time of deliverance in Matthew 24, verse 27. Matthew 24, verse 27. For as lightning comes from the east, Matthew 24, verse 27, and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. As the lightning flashes, as it lights up the whole sky, that's how Christ is going to come. It says, as he lights up the whole sky. You know. And in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, we've talked about those hard times. The sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Christ's return is going to be visible to everyone, isn't it? And then in verse 30, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. There's a deliverance coming, and people won't recognize that, many. They won't recognize it as a deliverance, but they will resist it, as we won't read. We could read in the book of Revelation. In verse 31 of Matthew 24, and he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. A great sound. Again, as we talked about, this isn't somebody blowing a trumpet out there with the breath of man. No, this is a great trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds again from one end of heaven to the other. So we see, and we don't need to turn there, but we know in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, and the trump of God, with a shout and the trump of God. Now this shout, I assume it's going to be a shout more than any shout anyone has heard. You know, it's going to be a shout. Let's look back at Isaiah chapter 27 again. Isaiah chapter 27. Yeah, with a shout and the trump of God. Now, this world has run its course under the rule of Satan, and it's about to come to an end. Isaiah chapter 27 in verse 13. So it shall be in that day that the great trumpet will be blown. You know, the trumpet was blown at the Jubilee. Actually, the trumpet was blown, I believe, before every holy day. But this is a great trumpet will be blown. And they who are about to perish, they who are about to perish in the land of Assyria. Yeah, the people of Israel are going to be in captivity. They're going to be scattered, and they're about to perish. It's like you're taking your last breath. And, you know, you think of it, that we die maybe before Christ comes, and we're like taking that last breath, and we're about to perish. But in reality, then our next bit of knowledge is we're resurrected. You know? About to perish in the land of Syria. And they who are outcast in the land of Egypt and shall worship the Eternal in the holy mount of Jerusalem. Yeah, God's going to bring back people and bring them into his truth. And Zechariah says also, the Lord shall blow the trumpet and go with a whirlwind. Of course, this whole chapter tells about the Zechariah 14, about the conversion of Gentiles and bringing them, you know, into God's truth. Some of them have to be kind of forced to, but they're going to come around. Let's look again at Matthew 24. And we begin to wind this down. No, we want to get wound up, right? Not down. I'm run down. You need to be wound up. Yeah, I'm running down, but you hopefully are wound up. Okay, let's see. Matthew 24, verse 42. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. I mean, we've looked at signs that we can read and read and read, but we don't know if we're going to walk out this door alive today. And we don't know for sure just how when the sacrifice, what hour or what day that starts, and when the abomination is set up. You know, we may not know that. And that's God to decide that. Matthew 24, verse 42, he says, watch. And then in verse 43 and 44, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. I mean, we know. No, we don't know the hour and the day, but we know what's going to happen. And we're being on guard. If you get word and say, you know, there's a ring going through your neighborhood, inside information, they're going to hit your house tonight. So what are you going to do? Well, I think I'll go to bed and see what happens. No, maybe you ought to lock the door, load your shotgun. No. This isn't taped, is it? No. I mean, you do something, don't you? Well, I hope that doesn't happen. Or do you do something? It says here, where was I? Verse 44? 43. And know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken up. We don't want our house to be broken up. We've got to need to be watching and paying attention, you know, in our own spiritual life. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not expect him. In other words, be prepared. You don't know when the Son of Man is coming for you. Brethren, I feel like that the sirens are blowing right now. I don't know how long. When we have the tornado alert, the siren comes on. The tornado's not there yet. The siren's blowing. Say, well, yeah, the siren's blowing. Well, we'll see what happens. Or do we do something? And it seems to me lots going on. We don't know how long the warning will go before the storm. You know, because God says, just like the famine of the word, we have to pay attention while it's there. What does it say in Isaiah? I'll turn back to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. There seems to be some kind of there's a window of time here that God expects us to take advantage of. When I'm driving maybe to work to Oklahoma City, it can take me 45 minutes or it can take me 20. There's a window of time when I make that trip. If I wait too long, I just almost don't get there. But if I do it when the time is available, I go right on through with not near as much difficulty as it would. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, seek the eternal while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. In other words, while he's dealing with you, take advantage of that. I don't know. Each person God begins to deal with maybe at a different time in their life, I'm sure. But when he is dealing with you, take advantage of that. And he goes on to just say, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous his thoughts. Yes. Call upon him while he is near. We've seen that there's a time when it's be much harder to pay and attention, to hear. Maybe they won't be there to hear. You know. No, maybe there's not. We've seen that there's a time of tribulation, of trouble. There's a time when it will be hard to hear the word of God. And it's like we store up spiritually. What did the 10 virgins? 5 of them didn't have the oil stored up. You know. If the bees don't make honey in the summer, what's going to happen in the winter? I guess they die, don't they? They have a hard time. They starve, you know. And in Luke chapter 21, yes. You know, there's a time, and whatever that time, when God's dealing with you, some people it's when they're youth, some people it's when they're old, but there's a time when God is dealing with you. Luke chapter 21, verse 28. Now when these things begin to happen, he said, when these things begin to happen, Jesus said, look up. He says, look up. Like be elated. You know, you brighten up. You look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. through all the hard times and problems. There's a time, and we see a lot of bad things, but we know our redemption draws near. Well, do you remember what it said? Well, we didn't actually read it, but back in Daniel chapter 12, he says, "And they that be wise," we're supposed to be wise as serpents, and yet being harmless. It says, "The wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness." I mean, how do we turn people to righteousness? Well, we set an example, a godly example. We support the assembly or the church, what you like to call it, in proclaiming. Jesus said, "Preach the gospel, make disciples of all men." So there is something for us to do. And it says, "It turned many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Brethren, that's talking about you, and it's talking about me, and that we can be prepared for it.